Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BLS International Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to our earnings conference call for Q3 and nine months FY23 business and financial performance. I have with me on call today Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Managing Director, and Mr. Amit Sudhakar, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Our performance in the third quarter has been in line with the expectations, continuing the growth trajectory of the previous quarters. Healthy recovery in travel and tourism across the globe is boosting volumes and revenues in our visa business, which is growing month-on-month. With increase in volumes, we are benefiting from economies of scale, leading to an improvement in our margins in visa business. In early January 2023, China also announced plans to open up travel, which bodes well for us. We expect volumes to increase going forward after this development. Now only Russia, which has been operational for a while, remains to open fully to tourism. We also won new contracts in our visa business, including the Malaysian Immigration Authority contract to issue e-visas, and we have successfully renewed our contract with the Ministry of External Affairs for the attestation business. On the other front, in the last quarter, we had consolidated our business correspondent and e-governance business in one segment, namely digital services. Our business correspondent business has been growing steadily, especially after the acquisition of Zero Mask Private Limited in June 2022. Consequently, the line of business became sizable enough to demand dedicated focus. Therefore, we consolidated BC and e-governance business into digital service segment. In line with this, we consolidated our digital service business under BLS E-Service Private Limited, thereby making BLS Kendra, ZMPL, and Charfin as subsidiaries of BLS E-Services, which will facilitate the future growth plans for our digital service business. Moreover, we are able to offer both types of services through a common touch point. We are investing in infrastructure and manpower to expand this segment. In fact, our number of touch points have grown from 80,000 in September 2022 to 90,000 in December 2022. During the quarter, we commenced 4,300 Grama-1 centers in Karnataka, while operations in West Bengal, Rajasthan, Punjab are going on track. While the visa business continues to grow, we aim to develop our digital service business aggressively. For this, we plan to expand our network of touch points throughout India. In line with this, PNB, Punjab National Bank, and Bank of Baroda are already on board with us, whereas we explore tying up with further newer banks. I would like to conclude this by saying all our businesses are doing well. We firmly believe that digitization is the key in the post-COVID world, and we have always strived to use cutting-edge technologies for all our services. This is all from my side. I now hand over it to Mr. Amit Sudhakar for updates on the financial performance. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me brief you on the financial performance for the third quarter ended 31st December 2022. During the quarter, we reported a revenue of 437.90 crores, an increase of 92.86% YOY and 22.72% QOQ, mainly driven by robust recovery in the visa and consular business, coupled with digital services businesses. The revenue was also supported by a contribution of about 42.2 crores from ZMPL during the quarter. We are seeing a good momentum in all our businesses and are optimistic of sustainable growth in the coming quarters. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at 66.30 crores compared to 25.53 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, and 56.8 crores in the Q2 FY23. The EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 15.14%, which is over 390 basis points higher compared to the corresponding quarter last year. Cost optimization and higher volumes helped offset the impact of higher cost of services, benefiting the EBITDA margin for the quarter. The profit after tax PAT stood at 45.85 crores in Q3 FY23 as compared to 28.29 crores in previous corresponding quarter and 50.99 crores in Q2 FY23. Going forward, as mentioned earlier, we are investing in expanding both our businesses segments, Visa as well as digital services. The recent ZMPL acquisition has been EBITDA and EPS accretive from the day one and is expected to further improve our overall ROCE. Coming to 9 months results, in the 9 months ended December 2022, our revenue grew 79.11% YOY to 1067.56 crore. The EBITDA stood at 154.47 crore, growing at 115% YOY, while EBITDA margin improved 241 basis point to 14.47%. The PAT for the period was 127.54 crore versus 76 crore in the corresponding period last year, a rise of 67.8%. In December 2022, we allotted bonus equity shares in the ratio 1:1 for every equity share of 1 rupee each held by the shareholders of the company. The board has approved the first interim dividend for FY22-23 at 50%, that is 50 paisa per share on the expanded equity capital. This is all from my side. We will now open the call for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much to give me opportunity. Sir, congratulations in advance to reach $1 billion market cap, which we will surpass soon. Sir, top line rises by 93% for this quarter, while net profit rises by 62%. So what are reasons to not net profit margin down in this quarter three?
See, as explained in our commentary, we have started investing in our digital businesses. So the percentage has come down in the current quarter, and in the next quarter onward, we will see the benefit of those digital business investment and what we are trying to put extra people on board to expand the businesses.
What are the businesses, and will you highlight some more information about it?
So in digital businesses, if you look at, we basically have two verticals. One is the banking correspondent business, and the second is e-governance. So we have won few contracts in the last quarter, and we have started, like Karnataka has been where we have got 4,300, as Shikhar explained, center points which we are developing, which will start from the next quarter. This quarter onward, we'll see the revenue start coming from those. So those, we are putting these infrastructure and increasing the touch points pan-India, wherein all these businesses will grow over the next few quarters.
Sir, what will be the income tax rate for the financial year 23 and 24, if you can guide about that?
The effective rate will go on increasing now from the last year onward. Main reason being the revenue from India, especially from digital business, has grown up. From, if you see the last year YOY, we were doing 10% business in India, and now that has gone up to 17%. So the effective rate what we are looking at will come somewhere around from say 10% last year to around 12 to 15% this year.
12 to 15% this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, can you tell in next 3 years where we see visa and consular services versus digital services? Any broad picture can you give? It will be help us.
See, now if you see in our total revenue, around 83-85% is coming from visa consular service and rest
is coming from business.
The kind of opportunities that we have in both the space, I think we expect the revenue mix to remain same in the coming years because we are expecting further growth in the visa consular segment and further growth in digital service segment. So definitely we want to, you know, we expect the revenue mix to maintain the same.
And this figure sometimes changes because depending on a very big contract, if you get in digital, so that quarter the percentage may change a little bit. But as a mid-term and a long-term strategy point of view, we want to keep it 20-80 ratio.
In both the services, we have same margin or visa have more margin in compared to digital services.
So the visa has, as on today, the visa has a much better margin compared to digital. But the top line and the growth, what we see is the potential, is what we see immediately will in the next couple of quarters you'll see in digital, growing much faster.
Okay. Thank you and all the best, sir. You are doing excellent.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Ravi.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Amresh Kumar from Geosphere Capital. Please go ahead. Amresh, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with a question, please. Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Maulik Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My question is, BLS International Limited is holding 70% in BLS E-Service Private Limited, right?
Yeah, that's right, Maulik.
And then who is holding 30% remaining 30%?
So, Maulik, as we have given in the announcement also to the stock exchanges, there have been 69.32% is by BLS International and the balance is with the promoter and non-promoter group. They are holding the
Okay. And what is the reason we have assigned that 30% to non-promoter and promoters? Because as I understand, company have enough cash. And why is the different interest promoter have in a main, holding company and subsidiary company? Right, because anyways, promoter is holding like 75% overall, approximately. So why don't we have like straight up with the subsidiary and the main company?
Okay, Maulik, let me try and explain to you. So my name is Nishil Gupta. I'm the managing director. See, this business of BLS services consists of many businesses, as Mr. Amit and Shikhar have explained to you, the digital services. And these businesses were started something like 7 to 8 years ago. Okay, so in all of these 7 to 8 years, the promoter group has put in substantial amount of time, effort. In some cases, they provided guarantees, given loans, and all this has helped to grow the business to the situation we are in today, where the annual profits of this e-services as a group would be in the region of 30 to 40 crores. So the board of directors of the company considered it appropriate that they be compensated for all the work that has been done over the years to bring it to the current status. And this is one way of rewarding them. And instead of paying this money by way of cash, it has helped the company by way of allotting equity to them. So this is the entire background to what you see in the financials
and the reason behind it.
Yeah, thank you, Nikhil, for a detailed answer. But as a minority shareholder, it would be nice if we have provided the cash. Because think about that. If this business will be bigger, like if it is generating like 40 crore right now, it will generate 400 crore maybe in 3-4 years or maybe 7 years. Then we are diluted for like lifetime. So it would be nice if company has the cash and we consider the cash as a payment.
Maurik, not to be argumentative, but just to let you know that the money that we are earning in cash has really helped us in the past, and we expect it to help in the future in terms of growth of the company through organic as well as acquisitions. So we want to conserve some of that money so that we don't end up taking up a large amount of debt in future. So allow us time, we'll show better results in terms of acquisitions.
Yeah, I agree. No, I'm not argumentative, but the previous participant have asked, right? Why revenue have increased, but why EPS not have increased? And I think that is the reason I feel. Because of diluted of the shareholder's equity, that's why we are increasing the revenue, but EPS maybe not be like effective. Because
okay,
if you see our operating margin have increased quarter on year on year, right? So
yep.
EPS should increase too.
Yes. Yes, it will. You'll see that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like disappointed because I'm in my whole portfolio, I'm holding 30% of the BLS International only. And it's my first 10 leader in my lifetime. So I'm very excited of the company. I'm like on top of the notch.
Thank you, Maulik.
I'm happy.
Thank you, Maulik. We are very happy.
But I didn't like the one thing that we have diluted. That's the thing I didn't like.
We've taken your thoughts on board, and we'll communicate to the board also. But this is where we are, and we believe that what we have done is going to only help the company in more further commitment from the promoter family to grow the business much more, as they've done in the past. But thank you for your suggestion, views.
Yeah, I hope you consider, because I want to see not even 1 billion company. I want to see you guys in the world. Anyway, you are in the like top three. I want to see you in the top first. So
really, thank you for that, and we'll work hard towards achieving your dreams also.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Joseph Matthew, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Right. So from where will our visa business is growing? Like, do we detect any expansion from any particular area or region?
Correct. Definitely, as you know, the visa counselor service business, this quarter we have achieved the highest EBITDA and revenue for the company. And till now, the world has not fully opened up. So we expect, revenues to go up from the existing contracts that we held. We have already been informed that China is going to open up. We are ramping up our capacities. Probably Russia should open up also in the near future. So definitely, we expect a good season, summer season, in the first quarter next year. And definitely revenue and EBITDA will grow up from the existing businesses that we held. On top of that, as you know, we have recently deployed our German contract in US, Mexico. Revenues have already started coming in and will start increasing over the course of the months from those contracts. On top of that, the additional contracts that we have bid for and in which results are coming, where the opportunity is quite huge, as we have explained in the previous quarters of $1.5 to $2 billion. And slowly, we are at different stages of qualification. So as and when that will come, definitely revenues and profitability will increase further for the company.
Okay.
So the line for the participant drop, we go on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Avirup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. So first of all, congratulations on the result. I just had one question. Like, if we look at the segment-wise results, like the profit and loss before taxes, QOQ, so in September 30th result, we had a profit of around 9.5 crores from the digital services, which has fallen down to minus 16 crores in this quarter. So any specific reason for that?
Mainly, as we have given this sweat equity impact of 24.6 crore has impacted the P&L.
But non-cash impact.
Non-cash impact.
It's a one-time.
It's a one-time. So if you take that out, we are quite similar percentage of profit what we did in the previous quarter.
Understood. And just a further add-on to that question. So, standing from that point of view, what would you say is like the outlook of the digital services business, which you have now separated out? Like, how do you foresee it growing, let's say, on a quarter-to-quarter, on a year-on-year basis?
So, this is one of the emerging businesses. You know that we acquired a company in the business correspondent space 6 months or so ago, and it's already beginning to show improved results. So this is an investment in businesses which will, over time, we expect will give the targeted EBITDA numbers like the Visa business is doing. So there is slightly lower today compared to Visa. We hope that it will catch up.
Understood. So I take it away from this conversation that this was a one-time hit that has been booked, and we will see further results of your investments in this sector in the coming quarters.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Amresh Kumar from Geosphere Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, one question on DLS e-services. Will this be the only vehicle through which you will be doing digital services? And if yes, will ZMPL be a part of it? Or is it currently the case?
It is currently a part of e-services. ZMPL is a part of e-services now.
Okay. So BLS e-services would be the single entity through which you will be doing this this business, right?
That is correct. That's right.
Okay. Got it. And secondly, sir, any update on your Spanish contract renewal and other contracts for the competitors, if you can give any update?
Definitely, as you know, we recently started working for the Germany government. You know, we deployed offices for the Philippine government. We recently also won a contract for the Malaysia e-visa authority, wherein we have started in India right now, and then eventually we will be going into many more countries. So that is the status as of right now. And as and when results for the contracts that we are bidding for are announced, we'll definitely, you know, the problem is that we cannot announce before the agreements are signed. So that is when we are signing, then we will definitely be announcing. But we are on trajectory for growth and gaining market share in the coming years. That will add to our existing revenue and profitability that we are already doing.
And what about your Spanish contract renewal? What is any update there?
So there is, as and when you know, when the results are announced or when we sign the agreement and we are allowed to announce, we will be announcing.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rikesh Parikh from Rockstar Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, we'd like to know, we were looking to some acquisition in the visa processing space. So any update on that?
Correct. So as you know, this is a very niche market where there are only three global players, you know, BLS, TLS and VFS. And then there are some small regional or small level players which are operating globally. So we have been under doing due diligence for a couple of companies in the visa outsourcing space. Till now, you know, nothing has, you know, we have done due diligence and we are negotiating. So as and when we see a good value add for the company or the multiple is attractive, as we have done in the past. If you see, Zeromas acquisition has given us a 42 crore of revenue this quarter and added good profit to our bottom line, and it was at a healthy multiple that we bought the company. So we are looking at those healthy multiples and revenues and profitability. Only then we want to acquire the company. So definitely, I think we are looking at it, and as and when we anything fructifies, because then we will be making announcements.
Sure. And any thought on any structure through which we plan to bring the surplus cash from here, other than the what we require for acquisition point of view from the Dubai subsidiary here? Have we thought on that anything?
As and when the money is required, we are getting it. And also, as you know, this quarter we have declared the highest ever dividend. The management has decided, because of the highest EBITDA achieved in the quarter, we have declared the highest interim dividend. And also, you know, the contracts that we are bidding for, you know, as and when they fructify, we need to deploy a good amount of cash even in operation of those contracts, because these are all big contracts.
And just lastly, on the digital services side, right now we are roughly around 17% of the revenue coming from that. So down the line, where do we see in terms of percentage revenue? Will it be ramping up, or we are looking at certain size between Visa and the digital services space?
Yeah, as of now, you know, our long-term strategy is that we maintain the ratio of revenue mix between both Visa and digital service business. And that is what we foresee in the near future, because we expect major growth coming in from both the segments. So our total revenue of the company will increase and profitability will increase, but the revenue mix should retain almost similar.
And then last question, if I can squeeze in, what is the profitability in the case of digital revenue?
So I think quarterly average, we are doing a 10 crore of profit in the digital business currently.
12%
margin.
12%. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Dhanisha from Investec Capital. Please go ahead. Vani, may I request to unmute your line from your side and go to the question, please? Vani, can you hear us? Due to no response, we move to the next participant. Next follow-up is from the line of Joseph Matthew, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So, I hope I am audible.
Yes, you can hear you.
Okay, so how do you think is difficult for our competitors to entry in our business?
We already have competitors, you know, which are operating in the business. And then if you are talking about new entrants entering to the business, then definitely there are big barriers to the business. It also took us many years to get qualified for these tenders. You know, they require experience of working with those many governments for X number of years. So it took us, you know, slowly we built our capabilities, and that is the reason that, you know, now all the tenders that we are working on, you know, there are only a handful of companies in the world, including ours, which are qualified.
Okay. And does the business still seeking out any M&A opportunities, like, and if yes, then which industry would it be? Like, what standards would you evaluate for such
opportunities? We have seen the success of M&A that we have done in the recent past, you know, with Zeromas, with Starfin. You know, we did a revenue of 42 crores in the quarter and generated a profit of 10 crores for digital service business. So definitely we are looking at acquisition in both the Visa, Passport and digital service business. And we are looking at, you know, not buying a company at a heavy valuation. So we are looking at attractive multiples, which can add, you know, also we can very fast recover our investments. So I think this is what we are looking at.
Okay. And earlier you mentioned Russia. So the geopolitical tension that is going on in Asia region, what do you think would be, you know, their effect, or What is the visibility on Russia opening up?
See, definitely, as you know, this is a global world that we are living in. We are a global company where we operate in 64 countries globally. So whatever numbers we have achieved right now, you know, which is with negligible numbers coming from both Russia and China. And so we have not even achieved 2019 numbers. So whatever, you know, things open up, things will only benefit us. So right now, you know, we don't have any outlook on the Russia or any other space. As I've informed you before, we have been told to ramp up our capacities in China already, which we are doing because we are expecting, the government is expecting the things to open up and numbers to come in. So Russia also, you know, maybe in the near future, things should become normalized.
Okay, okay. Thanks for the information and wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Aman Vishwakarma from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, thank you. So thank you for taking my question and congratulations on the good numbers. What I needed to know was, so you have won a few couple of contracts. So what is the time period of these contracts?
Sorry, you're talking about the...
The time period of these contracts, how is it? Like, is it a one-year contract or five-year contract?
Normally, it's 5 to 7 years. It is 5 to 7 years.
Okay. And as a follow-up, so what is the switching cost that a government would have to, you know, take on? Let's say if it doesn't want to continue with BLS, then maybe let's say switch to VFS or something. So, you know, is it possible for you to quantify that sort of switching cost?
Government does not take any cost. So all the costs are bearing by us,
by the vendor.
Or the vendors.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Dhwani Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. So just a couple of questions. First, to start with the visa volume. Just wanted to understand if there's any seasonality in Q3 and does it impact the gross margins in any way?
So, yes, there is a seasonality. As you know, people travel to Europe during the summer and people travel to India and Asian countries during the winter. So, there is a seasonality and normally we peak mainly during the summer season. So, there is a little bit of impact and obviously that has a some impact on our profit margins. But what we have seen in this quarter per se, the revenge travel, what we were talking about, has resulted in growth in the volumes during this quarter, whereas normally this quarter is little subdued compared to Q2.
Okay, thank you for that. Wanted to understand now that we've lowered our expenses, I think we've come down from 9.5% employee expenses in Q2 to 8.5% on revenue and similarly with other expenses. Are there any one-offs and can this be sustained going forward?
So this is more because of the higher volumes and the revenues which have gone up. So this will be more, I would say, semi fixed costs, and we will be able to work out if the volumes continue going at a decent pace, this percentage will continue coming down, or it may stabilize somewhere on this level.
Yes. Is there no one option in the quarter?
I cannot hear you.
Dhwani, there's a lot of background noise from your line.
Yeah, sorry. So there's no one option in the quarter, right?
No, nothing one-off during the quarter.
Okay. And just last question. On Karnataka and West Bengal within the digital services, by when will they start contributing to the revenues and how much do you expect the contribution to be?
So, West Bengal has started last quarter only. And Karnataka, we have put the infrastructure in place, and this quarter we will get the revenue from Karnataka.
Okay, and if you can give any guidance on how much would that be?
Little early days, because it all depends on the transaction which happens.
Okay.
So better understanding next quarter.
Next quarter we'll have a better
understanding. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Hi, congratulations on the good set of number, Shikhar, and the team. My question is like, with respect to last mile delivery and insurance, like we are talking about it from past, say, 3-4 quarters, like is there any revenue being generated by that, like substantial revenue?
Well, we started, the good news is that we started the insurance part of it in all our businesses, and it is beginning to show some results. But the large volumes will come in with over a period of time.
Okay, so like the 90,000 the checkpoints which we have, we are having all that services from all the 90,000, or like it is restricted?
We may not have business from all the 90,000, but the business is started in all the 90,000. So whoever is interested in insurance can come and take insurance.
Okay. My other question is like about our operating profit margin. Like, would we expect it to be the same or to increase a bit, like, or decrease, something like that?
So, see, this quarter has been quite good as far as the volumes are concerned. If these volumes continue, I'm sure we will go on improving on our EBITDA margins, which have now touched from, if you see last year, we were somewhere around 12% or so, 12 to 13%. Now, we are touching around 15 to 16%. So, okay. See, what we had did during COVID of realigning our costs is showing results now as a percentage of EBITDA. And we are sure that if the volumes continue going up, our cost may not go in the same proportion.
Okay, so, we can expect a bit of increase, right?
Like all depends on the volume of business we get.
That's correct, yeah. My last question is like, if you can just give a rough, figure about the market share. Like, we are top three, so what is the market share we have with us with respect to the world?
Market share, I think globally we would be having around 12% in the visa counselor service business. That, you know, we are, as I explained to you before, that, you know, we are expecting and we are bidding for tenders wherein the market share held by competition is coming under tendering. So if we gain certain market share in those territories, so then definitely our market share will go up. On top of that, the industry is also, you know, the outsourcing is also improving and increasing. So definitely our market share will go up in the coming years.
Okay. Thank you and all the very best for the coming future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Sudhir. Retired, please go ahead.
Hi, first of all, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you. Yeah.
First of all, heartiest congratulations to the BLS team for a splendid performance over consistent performance over the past 2 years and rewarding the shareholders enormously. So, congratulations. I have two questions. First is, it's nice to hear that China is opening up. So, let's say from the first quarter of next financial year, what do you expect the China contribution in the entire visa service revenue?
See, right now, whatever numbers we have achieved is, in spite of China being semi-closed and Russia being semi-closed. So it's very difficult to predict what numbers will come from there right now. But that we have started ramping up our capacities in anticipation of increase in numbers. Whether it happens in first quarter, second quarter, we cannot comment on.
But pre-COVID numbers... What has been the contribution of China in the pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, the contribution was, I think, the number of... China was 15% of the total global volumes because, see, conventionally, if you see China and Russia were major source markets for tourists. So definitely those numbers still are negligible.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, thanks, Shikhar, for that. My second question is, it's glad to know that we have 1.5 to 2 billion worth of opportunities still to be tapped. Now, when we are talking about that, you also mentioned in your presentations and various interviews that the share outsourcing is currently at the around 35%, and which you see to be growing up to 50%. So this 1.5 billion plus opportunity that you see, is it what you're talking about, the balance 15%?
No, 35%? This is majorly from the existing market, because this is the visibility that we have on tenders. But we have not talked about the opportunity, or the tender size for the markets which are outsourcing for the first time. So that if we get any of those, that will be definitely adding to the market.
So, I'm still not able to get hold of this.
No, I'll let me explain you. So this opportunity is from the existing outsourced market. Right now, these contracts are being run by a competition. And since now we are qualified in this cycle, so we are poised to gain certain market share in these contracts. So this is from the existing outsourced market. On top of this opportunity, there is a not accounted for opportunity, which is the non-outsourced market. For example, we started working for the Philippine government, the Brazil government, which outsourced for the first time. So these tenders, sometimes they take years to come. That is why we have not mentioned this opportunity.
So I understand. So it is basically on account of increase in market share.
That's right. See, what Shikhar is saying, that 1.5 billion, what he has been talking about, are the tenders which are coming in the market for re-tendering. So they are the existing outsourcing business, which is currently in the process of re-tendering.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And all the best to the team.
Thank you, Sudhir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sachin, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Hi, congratulations on a brilliant set of results once again. I'll ask the question. So sorry to put you in a spot, but my question is with regards to Note 5 and the results and the allotment of 15% of sweat equity. Can you just elaborate in terms of the thinking around, going for sweat equity and not looking at ESOPs or commissions associated with that? And also, are we looking for BLS e-services to be listed in the near future?
Okay. So, maybe you were not present earlier, but we responded to this question earlier. But just to summarize, BLS e-services has a bunch of businesses, which are banking correspondent business, it's e-governance, as well as digital services. So these businesses were started about 7 to 8 years ago, and during that period, the promoters have spent an enormous amount of not only time and effort, but also their knowledge and also their contacts and also their own funds they have deployed in the business and given guarantees against their personal assets. So all this time they never got any compensation for providing all of these services. So the board considered it appropriate to give some sweat equity to the promoters on account of the work done in the past and for future, obviously. The reason behind not issuing ESOPs or commissions, one, because it's a cash outflow to the company which we wanted to conserve, and the other thing, it's not tax efficient to do any of that. So various reasons went into it, and the board considered all of that before taking this call.
Okay, are we looking to list that entity? That's the second part of my question.
So that's something which is open right now, no immediate plans.
Okay. Another question. Is it possible for us to see monthly business update like a few firms kind of do that? At the end of the month, we know how many visa applications out of which market have been, processed, or just to give a visibility in terms of how we approach towards the coming quarter. I know we've had very good results, but just in terms of being comfortable through the quarter, is that a possibility?
We can consider this, but since we are working in a global environment,
right.
So we can.
Globally, we get our information in MIS. So yes, we can look at it. We have at the moment. Thanks for your suggestion. We look at
it. Yeah. That's it. Thank you. I'll join the queue.
Thank you, Sachin.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Redigar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. So I have few questions, sir.
Hello. Sir, you're audible.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Ankit, go ahead with your question. You're audible. We can hear you.
So, sir, I just want to know that in terms of financial, so other income which is double as far as QOQ and YY. So, what would be the main reason for it?
So, other income has gone up. Mainly, one is the interest. As you have seen, the interest rates have gone up, so that has increased the interest on FDs. Parallelly, there has been a reversal of excess provisioning against the debtors because during COVID last year, there was a provisioning as per the accounting standard 37. And this time it has been reversed because those collections have come in and the debtors have come down. So it has done a reversal of around 3.5 crores of excess provisioning, which has been reversed.
Okay. So, sir, we have issued a bonus share right now, and last time also we have issued a bonus share. So, what would be the main reason for issuing a bonus share in a very short span of time?
No, I think the main reason for issuing bonus share was to increase, liquidity in the market and to reward our shareholders. That was the main reason.
Okay. And sir, currently about this our UK visa business, what is the status of that in terms of renewals?
Under tendering process.
Okay. And sir, how much we earn from these value-added services which we have in terms of revenue and the profit margin?
No, profit margin is the similar. You know, we are doing I think around 15%, more than 15% profit margins on a annual basis. So this is what we are doing. So the profit margin is same.
Okay. And sir, one last question: do we have any capex plan in the future?
Capex plan, average acquisition plans we have, and capex what we are doing every year to refurbish our 10 to 15 crore we use to refurbish our offices globally, and on top of that, if additional contracts come, that will require capex.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. This is from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Neha Mehta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on the good set of numbers. I just had one question regarding CAPEX required for digital services. So do we have any plans for CAPEX and digital services?
There is very limited capex required for the digital services. Most of the capex goes into acquisition finance and as well as the new contracts that we get.
So, sir, is there any acquisition in pipeline then?
There's always a list of things that we are looking at, and some come up to maturity, and then we announce it.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shikhar Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for your participation in our Q3 FY23 earnings call. In case of any further queries, you may get in touch with Adfactor PR or feel free to get in touch with her. We look forward to interacting with you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of BLS International, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.